get to experience it for breakfast.
He's like, hello!
The Toucher and Rich Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
First down, L.A. going for the whole thing. Cooks! Touchdown, L.A.! Brandon Cooks! Have a night, Jared Goff.
I'm like a cross between Mighty Mouse and Underdog. I need the Wonderdog.
98.5.
We're brand.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Burt Breer from MMQB in studio.
Super rapper. The right fist of justice.
Now, Burt, Brandon Cooks last night looked okay.
That one stings if you're a Patriots fan.
Yeah, I just can't imagine what... Tom Brady's thinking, sitting there watching that after throwing the ball, to Chicago from Detroit, like out of frustration on Sunday. The way that Brandon Cooks looks, the way they're using him, the way they're getting the most out of him, certainly makes you wonder what he would have looked like after, if he had had a second year here. No question.
Now, why do you think they got rid of him?
I can tell you exactly how it went down.
Okay.
And if you want to go back to February, the Rams called the Patriots, and I think one thing you have to remember with this is a lot of times it gets out there that this team calls about that player, that team calls about that player. There are certain teams that call about everyone, sure. And the Rams are one of these teams that are just very aggressive and call about everyone. And so I think when they called, I think it was February, they called the Patriots, and they got a no on Cooks, and they got a maybe on Gronk. And this is in February. And at that point, I think that the consensus was that the Patriots probably weren't going to move Cooks. I know from the Rams' perspective, the idea of doubling back on him, and when they went back on Gronk later, mm-hmm. the answer became no on Gronk. But when they doubled back on Cooks, it was because, the receiver market just exploded, so maybe the Patriots have loosened up a little bit. And that was a result of Sammy Watkins getting $16 million per. That was a result of Allen Robinson getting $14 million per. Mike Evans re-signed in Tampa, I believe, $16.5 million.
Yeah.
And I think the Patriots knew at that point, Brandon Cooks can easily make an argument. I'm a better player than Sammy Watkins.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a better player than Allen Robinson. And I'm in the ballpark of Mike Evans based on my production.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I think the idea was, the Patriots aren't going to be able to pay him in that neighborhood. This is the Rams thinking now. The Patriots aren't going to be able to pay him in that neighborhood because Gronk's making less than that and Brady's making less than that. And so what's so interesting about it, guys, is that forever they've benefited from this, from having Brady making less, right? Because they can say to anybody, you take this, you take that. Look at number 12. He's taking less.
Yep.
You need to take less too. And in this situation, I feel like it almost handcuffed them.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're Brandon Cooks, this is your life-changing deal, right? Every player wants to get to that second contract because that's where you're going to make the money that's going to last generations in your family and all the rest of it. And so in this situation, it's if you're going to pay Brandon Cooks that, how does that muddy the waters with Brady? How does that muddy the waters with Gronk,
Yeah.
And so I think the Rams were sharp enough in this situation to look at it and say, we ought to go back and we ought to ask about Cooks again because he's going into a contract year, and maybe the Patriots would want to recoup the first-round pick they gave up for him if they don't think they're going to be able to keep him past 2018.
When you look at Amendola, Cooks, and Deion Lewis, three obviously very dependable weapons for Tom Brady over the last year, was there one that you believe there was a chance that they could have made something work more than another?
Amendola is an interesting one. I think then that the question then becomes, what do you do about Edelman? Can you pay him more than Edelman? Because
wait, so this whole thing is based on they got guys on cheap deals.
I mean, a lot of it is.
Okay. So this is interesting. So they have these guys on cheap deals, and they can't. They feel it will cause problems if they pay people more than that.
Three questions. Okay. Does Brady make what he's worth?
No.
Does Gronk make what he's worth?
No.
Does Edelman make what he's worth?
No. I agree with you.
It's a way of suppressing the market in their own building.
So is this starting to bite them in the ass?
I think to some degree, yeah. Well, and here's the other, like, this sort of happened too. This sort of happened in like the first wave here. The teams that won in 01 and 03 and 04. Mm-hmm. You remember, like, after the 04 Super Bowl, there was an exodus. Like, Willie McGinnis left, Deion Branch got traded, mm-hmm. David Givens left. And for a lot of those guys, it was like cashing in on all the winning.
Yeah.
You know, it was, all right, like, now I've got my rings. I don't need to worry about that as much anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not chasing a ring anymore. I don't need to hang around here. Like, and that's the reality of it. I mean, a lot of people look at this and say, well, why wouldn't you want to stay here and keep winning? Well, if you've already got a ring and you've only got like this short amount of time to make money, you might as well capitalize on it. And when a team's winning like that, like, you can't, like that's capital for players, is like other teams want a piece of what you're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
But also, if it comes down to winning or making a transformative amount of money that's going to set me up for my life, I can't afford not to take that. I might get hurt tomorrow.
Right.
So, yeah. So
I think in each of these cases, like, Deion Lewis is another one where, how many injuries did he have?
Right.
I mean, he was damn near out of the league. He was probably a twisted ankle away from never playing football again. Like on his last legs as a football player.
Yeah.
Of course he's going to take the best deal he can possibly get.
Mm-hmm.
He took less from you because in some of these cases, they were able to capitalize on the fact that the guys had issues in the past.
Yeah, like reclamation project.
Deion Lewis took less because he had been hurt before and because they offered him a little security. Danny Amendola took pay cuts because he'd had injury problems in the past. Gronkowski is the best example of it. He took a deal just 2 years into his career because he'd had the back issue. And so with each of these guys, they'd sort of taken advantage of those things in the past. And I don't know, like, here's the thing. I think that there's discipline in the way they're doing it. There's certainly, like, that whole, like, we want to do what's best for the team long term. And maybe in some of these cases, maybe you look at it and say, well, you know, it would have been a mistake to carry Cooks into a contract year.
Mm-hmm.
The flip side of it is that you got a 41-year-old quarterback.
Yeah, and you
got
to win now.
And, like, you don't know what's on the other side
of
that.
Yep.
That's the other side of it is, like, was it a good return? Was a first-round pick a good return on Cooks? Sure. Like, to get that back for a guy who was going into a contract year who maybe you were going to let go anyway, sure. Like,
especially
I understand
if you could draft.
But you know what? Now you drafted a guard with that pick, and he's hurt.
Right.
And so now you have neither player.
Exactly.
And Brady's 41.
Let me ask you this.
And so that's the question. I mean, I understand, like, this is the way they've always done it. I understand why they're still doing it this way. And I totally get all of that. At the same time, if your quarterback's Brian Hoyer in 2 years, like, then, like, okay, great. You got Isaiah Wynn.
It's right,
not gonna
right.
You're not going to make a difference at that point.
Yeah.
Can I ask you about this? Is that Sony Michel looked bad against the Lions, to say the least. And
he looked slow.
He did. He looked slow. He looked unequipped
eye-opening
to be the NFL.
Yeah.
Is this something that you think is just the way he is? Or, I mean, it's one game and everyone craps on me for saying how bad it is.
Yeah, here's the thing. So, I think normally at that position you can see when a guy looks like Saquon Barkley, for better or worse, you watch him, like, with the ball in his hands.
And
like,
it's ridiculous.
Like, that guy, he's not perfect. Like, he bounces too many plays outside and he loses yardage, but you can see why he was a first-round pick.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And, like, I want to give him a few weeks because I this is a complex offense to learn, and maybe he's swimming a little bit mentally and he missed time in training camp. And so, like, maybe doesn't look as explosive out there because he doesn't see it right yet. Maybe he's not, like, he's not sure of everything yet.
Yeah.
That's certainly possible, but it doesn't look like he doesn't look like a first round running back right now.
Right.
Like, you can find players at that position. That's the scary thing about it, is that you can find players at that position in the third or fourth round. And I certainly think it's fair to ask some questions now about whether or not, if you're going to take a running back in the first round, he's got to be really, really, really good.
He's got to be a generational kind of running back. Yeah.
Right, right. Like, and I feel like with Gurley, with Zeke Elliott, with Saquon Barkley, for their flaws, you can see why they went in the first round.
Right. You know, everyone says that this is such a hard offense to pick up. is why is it that everywhere else? I mean, just how much harder is it? Can you kind of put in perspective just how much tougher it is?
Well, because we were just talking about McVay off the record. Or off the record.
Yeah. Very important conversation.
Dirty stuff.
Still waking up. I think what's so interesting about what some of these other teams are doing now.
Because a guy like Brandon Cooks goes to the Rams and immediately succeeds.
And we could have a three-hour conversation about how offensive football has become this way. But there's time limits at the lower levels, which is why you see in the college game, it's simpler. Like, they're doing things, and everything that they, like, the on the what's on the players mm-hmm. isn't all that much. Like, there's not this huge mental toll on the players to learn the offenses. We're going to go out, we're going to throw the ball around, we're going to make it simple on the players, and we're going to put the burden on the coaches. And I remember having a conversation with McVay about this after he'd got the Rams job, and we were talking about what he's going to do with Goff. And his point was, my job is to make it as simple as I possibly can on the players and as complicated as I possibly can on the opponents. And so he was like, I'm going to put a ton of motion into what we do. I'm going to formation the hell out of the defense. I'm going to do all of this different stuff. But it's not going to be hard for my players.
But in the end,
it's going to be really, really
plays.
Easy. It's going to be really, we're running like basically a college offense.
Yeah.
And we're going to get everybody playing fast. And you know what? It's on me. It's not on them. It's on me to make this complicated. And I think what happened with a Brady, with a Manning, with those offenses, and look, this is why they're hard to defend, okay? Because you've got the offensive coordinator. He's got his hands under the center. You know, that's a huge advantage. You know, like the whole thing about the headset turning off after 15 seconds, like, it's a huge, huge advantage to have a player like that. But to run an offense that way is difficult, you know? And I think, like, in a lot of cases, and I remember talking to, like Adam Gase.
We got a break, and we'll come back to that thought. Bert Breer in studio, and if you have any questions, 617-779-0985.
Dutcher and Rich.
Yeah. East Point, smoke some dank. Old National got skanks. Everybody, you know what I'm saying? Well, it's the M.I. Cricket letter. Ain't no one better. And when I'm on the microphone, you best to wear your sweater, because I'm cooler than the polar bear's toenails. Oh, hell.
985, the Sports Hub. These are all Funk Friday suggestions from my Instagram at Fred Tucker. Who is this, Danny?
This is Outkast.
You have something to say about this, or you can ask some football?
I was going to ask something football related to Bert, but finish this off. I apologize.
Would you like me to make me...
Was that like trivia? Like asking him if he knew that this was Outkast?
No, I didn't know. I just gave him my phone and said, here's what all these suggestions were. I feel a little stupid not knowing this was Big Boy. It's Feed the Fan Fridays, presented by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. Be listening at 7:50 this morning for your chance to score a $100 Stop and Shop gift card to feed their fandom. StopandShop.com. That's coming up at 7:50. All right, Bert, what were we discussing before I rudely cut you off?
Something about quarterbacks, but I think I was sort of going on, too, right?
Okay.
I got myself rolling there.
Yeah, you got yourself.
At least I'm self-aware.
It happened.
All right, so...
I don't know if it was interesting or not.
All right, so things have been coming out about Gronkowski. His brother said that he was very frustrated by the double teams that are happening.
Yep.
Gronkowski just doesn't seem happy here. I mean, and I don't know if I would be either. A lot of incentives.
He sounds to me like he's conflicted. You know, like, it sounds to me like he likes some things about here and he doesn't like other things about here. And part of the problem with building the contract the way that they did is they sort of built in problems, right? If a team like Detroit does what they did, which was basically cover him like he was a gunner on the punt team. Like, you're not getting open. We're not like that. That wasn't like it's rare that you see the types of double teams on a player the way that the Lions double teamed Gronk last week. Normally it's like high, low, like a guy gets him underneath and the other guy takes him over the top. This was different. This was just two guys are flat out on him. And not only is that going to frustrate a player just because he's competitive and he wants to catch the ball and he wants to make a difference, for Gronkowski, now that kind of like rolls back to the incentives too. Because if he is going to be covered that way because they don't have answers around him, because they haven't put a good enough team around him, well, then that's going to cost him money.
Right.
And, like, I felt like the whole time, like, and I said this when they redid the deal. It's like, one of the things, if I'm Rob Gronkowski, that frustrates me about the way this thing was handled was the thing that caused me to be upset, the thing that irked me in the first place was what we just talked about, which was Sammy Watkins getting $16 million per and Brandon Cooks getting $16.2 per and Allen Robinson getting $14 per. And you can legitimately say, I'm better than all of those guys. I should be getting at least
much
closer.
Better.
And instead of just giving me a raise, you're making me hit all of these incentives, which really, really those tie back to my health, which has been a problem for me since I was 18 years old.
Okay, then, Bert, can I ask you?
And now you've added another layer to that, because now it's like now the performance is more difficult, too, because of what you put around them.
They have no talent around them. Why, then, the hesitancy to go to Detroit? And first of all, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Were you surprised that he came out and just said, yeah, I wouldn't go?
Yeah, I think there was definitely frustration that was absolutely played into that. Now, I don't think it was planned. Like, I don't think Gronk, like, went into the locker room. Like, I don't think he stomped into the locker room post-game and said, I'm going to show him.
Yeah.
But I think there was probably some natural frustration, and it came out.
But if you know you can get paid by the Lions, because I would imagine they would rework something for you.
Well, I mean, the question then becomes, like, and I think that this is a fair question. The question then becomes, do I want to go to Detroit, A? No offense, my family's from there, too. But do I want to go to Detroit, A?
But you only have to be there.
I know.
Like, the amount of time you have to spend there is like nothing.
And B, am I going to be able to compete for a championship there? Am I going to be an all-pro type player there? And we've talked about this some. Like, I think Brady in a lot of ways unlocks who Gronk is, because Gronk's never been the type of player. And this is why some of the teams that were in on him didn't value him at the same level that the Patriots might.
Yeah, people have come out and said that he's a... like a result of Brady's.
I don't think you can go that far, because I think he's played the position at a higher level than I think anyone's ever played it.
Sure.
But Brady like sort of unlocks his ability, because what's he best at? He's best at catching the ball in traffic. These circus catches that you don't see players at that position make. And not every quarterback can put the ball in spots.
But there
like
are
that.
Some. And what Gronk has done is made himself untradeable.
And now we look at it, and one of those quarterbacks might have been playing last night.
Yeah. I mean,
Green Bay calls
at the end of this year. I mean, yeah. Green Bay could certainly call them. They always need a tight end worth a damn. I mean, why would Gronkowski make himself, whoever's advising him in this case, messed up? Yeah, okay, you don't want to go to Detroit. Maybe you don't think Matthew Stafford's good, and opinions vary on him. But if Green Bay calls and said, we'll give you a first-round draft pick for 1 year of Gronk, Patriots would take that deal in a second.
Why would
Gronkowski limit his ability? You can go win a championship in Green Bay if he goes there.
Because Green Bay wasn't one of the teams involved.
I understand that, but in the future, say, okay.
Because Green Bay looked at it and said, we can get Jimmy Graham for free.
I understand that, but I'm just using Rodgers as an example.
Right.
Brady is certainly the best quarterback ever, but he's not the only quarterback that can deliver the football to Gronk in traffic and make him who he is.
I think he loves playing with Brady. I think there is value for him staying here. Like, my bigger question, that's unanswered here for me is like, where does that value, how far does that value to him go? Like the interest, the intangible value of being here, like how far does that go? If say the Rams made a hard offer and said, we want to bring you here and we want to pay you, like would he still have said no? Like that's the unanswered question to me. Like, because like last night, I think we saw a quarterback who can put it in spots.
Right.
Like he can put the ball where he wants to put it. And that would have been a team that had a lot of talent around him. And he'd be in LA, which like kind of plays
build
into
his brand. Yeah.
There is that piece of me. I think he really, really values playing with Brady. I think he understands like, and for all the goofy stuff, he's not a dumb guy. Like I think he understands like the value of being in this market too for an athlete, like, which, you know, that can pay dividends, and we've seen it with so many guys, can pay dividends well beyond when he's done playing. So there's a lot there, and like the idea of playing, being part of a dynasty and being a guy who was there like from beginning to end, of his career. Like, there's a lot of value there. I don't know how far that value goes. I don't have an answer to that.
He's locked himself into the Patriots salary structure. He's cost himself money. And if it indeed goes south here, which eventually it will, whether it be sooner or later, I mean, he's messed himself up. He could extend his playing career somewhere else if it goes south here. He's a lot younger than Tom Brady is.
Well, and I noticed, like, Chris Gronkowski dropped a number there, too.
Right.
Like, that wasn't, like, if you guys listen to that, like he did drop a number. The number was $15 million.
Yeah.
Which, like, that, my guess is he didn't pull that number out of the sky.
Right.
Like, my guess is that number was, like, at least discussed. And seems like a fair number to me. Like, if I'm Detroit, or if I'm any number of these teams, if I'm San Francisco or LA, and like some of these teams didn't value him like that. So that's part of the thing here too. Like, there were certain teams that said we would rather have, say, you know, a Jimmy Graham or a Jordan Reed type of player than we would have Gronkowski, as crazy as that might sound, just because those guys are different types of tight ends. Like, if you're one of those teams, like, would you rather have Gronkowski or Allen Robinson or Gronkowski or Sammy Watkins? I'd probably rather have Gronkowski because I think he's harder to take out of the game.
Yeah, certainly than Sammy Watkins.
He's a game changer. Makes your offense entirely different.
All right, Bert, I want to talk to you when we get
back.
The hard
thing about it is that, but if you're getting Gronk, then you've got to give up a draft pick and the money, which is more than it would be.
What do you think he goes for? A third rounder?
I'd heard that, like, the market value for him was probably a two.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Bert, when we come back, I want to ask you about these anonymous league sources that say that they believe that Brady his success is a result of being on this team. And if the Patriots had any of the top 15 quarterbacks, they would have had at least a Super Bowl. We'll get to that. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
A band Dan full of Wallachs.
Yes. Mind the Gap Band.
The first thing I thought of.
The Gap Band.
Not a big fan of this song.
Hell yeah.
Sorry, John.
People that went to at Fred Toucher and suggested Funk Friday songs. This is a little obvious.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm not a huge fan. All right, Bert Breer from MMQB in studio. I don't remember what anonymous sources said it, Bert, but people talking about if you gave Belichick and this coaching staff any of the top 15 quarterbacks in the league, they would have won a Super Bowl.
It was someone in the coaching staff, apparently, of the Patriots.
It doesn't surprise me that someone would say that.
Now, why is that?
Just because I think there are a lot of guys in there who wouldn't say that, that believe it. Like, that believe that the system has, and I think, like, and I think there's merit in that, like, coaching does matter.
Yeah.
Like, and we saw it last night. Like, Jared Goff, the difference, like, now versus 2 years ago
with Jeff Fisher,
I think has a lot to do with Sean McVay.
Sure, sure.
And I think for a lot of young quarterbacks, it matters what situation you're put in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are some guys who may have wound up being good who are just Archie Manning back in the 70s, like, how many awful situations was he put in?
Well, we talk about that all the time, is that if Brady got drafted by a different team, maybe he never sees the field and he's cut after 1 year.
And so I think there's some merit to that. And I think that you guys have heard Belichick talk about 2008, right?
You know, I heard, like, you say
how much pride he's got in 2008. Like, it like comes up, like, when I think with Polian, there was a point where they mentioned, like, they said something about, like, building depth at quarterback. And I think on his own, Belichick brought up the Colts in 2000 and was it 11? 2011,
mm-hmm.
when Manning got hurt and the bottom fell out.
Yep.
And he was like, well, we don't build our team that way.
Mm.
It was sort of like we're impervious to the idea that a quarterback injury is going to sink us. And so I think they take a ton of pride in 2008. I think they take a ton of pride in the fact that they were able to develop Garoppolo. And that's part of the reason why I think that it was important to Bill to send Garoppolo to a place where he thought he was going to succeed, because I think he views that as part of his legacy.
All right. Now, Bert, do you think that, because there's a lot of weird stuff going on, do you think that Belichick has like some sort of ulterior motive in some of these personnel decisions that he's making, other than I want to win this year?
Ulterior motive, like I think Garoppolo there was, but I don't.
Yes.
I think that was sort of in a vacuum. Like I don't think there are other. Just, I don't think he's
like getting rid of Cooks for a first round pick. And I understand.
I don't think he's carrying out agendas with other moves. I think there was an agenda with the Garoppolo move to some degree.
Yeah,
I think there was an element of, okay, you're going to make me get rid of this. You're going to make me deal this guy. Like, I'm going to show you. I'm going to send him to a place where he's going to succeed. And then in 5 years, I'm going to turn around and say, like, look what you made me do. That's what you made me do. I don't think there's an agenda with any of the other.
Well, then are you shocked at how prepared this team looks right now?
I think they're adhering to the way they've always done business.
And are you shocked?
Is that antiquated?
Yeah, that's a great question. Is this something that's gone by the way of the dodo bird?
If Brady was 25, like we'd be talking about something else. I think the real question here is, should you be acting with like an increased amount of urgency because of Brady's age?
Yeah,
and you can argue that both ways, because they've had so much success doing it here that way, where it's like always been like, we're not mortgaging, we're not going to sell out for 1 year, we're not going to do it that way. And in a certain way, I think that they, like, last year was as close to doing that as they've come since 2007.
It's so different last year.
And they came out of it, and I think they came out of it, and then they were like, okay, like, we're going to go back. We're going to do it the way we've always done it now. And to their credit, I mean, they've been to the Super Bowl 3 times in the last 4 years. They've won 2 of them, so it's not like this is some sort of failing operation. I think the fair question to ask is, should they adjust the way that they operate based on their quarterback's age? Should they be willing to mortgage the future a little bit? Because, like, there's a lot of unknown.
Yeah,
like,
right.
2 years from now, we have no idea what this is going to look like.
Okay, so there was an article that came out. Oh, boy, I think it was the Washington Post. I could be wrong. But it was at the beginning of the season, this reporter had reached out to Bill Belichick to do an article on him. It came out this week.
Sally Jenkins. I haven't looked at it yet, but yeah.
Okay.
I think that was the payback for sticking up for them during Deflategate.
Oh, yeah. Which she did. She was on the front lines. Yeah. So she said she was kind of shocked to get this call back from Bill Belichick, you know, because she was joking, you know, the only time he really tends to talk to reporters is when it's for like Nantucket Magazine or you know, the thing with the dog that we
lacrosse
played today. Right. When you were covering this team, when you were here locally and weren't doing the national stuff, did that happen to you every once in a while? Was Bill Belichick kind of a strange guy that he would just randomly call you?
Every now and again, there were a couple times where I would get called, it wasn't on the record. Like, it wasn't for on the record stuff. Like, there were a couple times where I did big one-on-ones with him.
Yeah.
But that was planned. Like, that wouldn't be a random call. I mean, I do remember there would be this is the way it is with all football coaches, right?
Sure.
Like, a lot of football coaches, like, when they call you, they'll call you at like 5:45 a.m. or 11 p.m. It's like going in to the office or coming out of the office. So that would happen, yeah.
And would it usually be over something that the publication you worked for was wrong, or could be?
It could be like there'd be times there'd be times, and this happens with a lot of coaches, guys. Like, this is like, if they don't like something that you wrote or they think you might be a little off, sometimes it's like to help you. Sometimes it's like, well, you know, I think you had this. I go, you said this here, and you know, you might want to take a look at like X, Y, and Z, because I don't think you were completely on there. So sometimes they do that to help you, but that's not uncommon.
Did it ever get, I don't want to say confrontational, but did he ever call you and tell you something and you say, well, the reason we wrote this is because of this?
There was one time where it was about, you know, and this is when I was really young. When I was 25, 26. And I remember talking to him about about what I was doing in my practice reports.
Yeah.
And I have an idea of what I'm looking at. Like, I can't see it like an NFL coach does, but I had an idea of what I'm looking at when I was looking at a football practice, you know? And so there'd be a few things that I would point out that were I think made him say, oh crap. And so we talked through that a little bit, hey, you know, even though this is open to the public, you know, like, and there's some back and forth there about.
So you saw some warts, and he didn't want you to.
No,
report
I mean
those.
It wasn't warts. It was strategic stuff.
Yeah, like giving away.
They're very like they were careful about that, and that's fair. You know, like those. And look, I don't want to make it sound like. Like that's exclusive to Bill. That happens everywhere. You know,
where
what I mean?
Would you rank him as far as wanting to? I want to say maintenance. Like as far as someone who would stay in contact with you, with all the coaches that you talked to. Like where would you rank him? Was he kind of?
I would say he's like I think he's fairly normal. The thing is, like with him, and this is probably exclusive to him. Like he's like the mob. Like, there's a line, and once you cross that line, and, like, for me, it was that year where, you know, I wrote the Moss story, and I wrote the Hernandez story, why Hernandez fell in the draft.
Of all the things. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I got an egg on my face on that one, right?
What was his reaction? What was his reaction to that? Because that's interesting to me. So you write this thing that's very critical.
No, I didn't. I mean, I could tell you guys, like, the Hernandez thing, I gave them an hour to respond to what I had, and they couldn't. It was just, and that's the way it works a lot of times. I mean, they, like, and with Bill, I don't think it was as much. I just feel like it was, you know, there was a point, like, there was no blow up or anything like that. It's just.
The call stopped.
It's just, yeah, like all of a sudden communications cut off. And that's fine. And that's fine. Like that was, I've always said this. I mean, then I know there were some people out there that thought that I would grandstand in these press conferences when I was there. And my job at NFL Network was to go in there and cover whatever the big story of the day was. I couldn't go in there and ask about, like, you know, offensive line depth.
Right.
You know, like.
No one at the, no national audience doesn't care.
And so, like, what I, you know, a lot of people thought that was grandstanding, but it wasn't grandstanding. It was, you know, I used to be able to get those questions answered behind closed doors, and if you're not going to give me that access anymore, I think there's one place where I can ask him, and that place is in the press conference.
And you immediately, after that, you found him treating you different when you were just doing the.
And that's fine, Like I don't want anybody to think I had a problem with that. I didn't have a problem with that. It's just, you know, it's like I said, like the mafia. Like, you know, when you're out, you're out.
Yeah.
It's sort of like that. Like there's sort of been historically, and I think anybody who's covered the team would tell you this. There's sort of a bright red line there, and you're either on one side of it or you're not. And from a PR perspective, I think it's pretty smart. Like, to be honest, like, it's, if I'm looking at the way that they're operating, it's, you're either with us or you're against us, and we're not going to help you build your credibility.
It's like you and Shaughnessy.
We're not going to help. Like Bill. I honestly think it's this way with Bill. Like, I'm not going to help you. And if you're a good enough reporter, you can work around it, right?
Yeah.
But like I think his thing is like, if you're not on board with me, I'm not going to help build your credibility up by giving you information, by helping you. So at that point, you got to kind of
get creative.
You learn to work the corners. You learn to find different ways to get information.
All right, we have to break. When we come back, we have that $100 Stop and Shop gift card. Also, we'll find out if Bert played corner and wide receiver in high school. We'll find out if we'll figure out if he can still fit into his Letterman's jacket. We'll figure out if he ever ran track so he could get faster. All these things will be on the table. We'll be returned shortly.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
Now let's get it all in perspective. For all y'all enjoyment, a song y'all can step with. Y'all appointed me to bring rap justice, but I ain't 5-0. Y'all know it's Nas, yo.
Great
goose and a whole lot of only describers and soldier survivors. Stay laced in the
Again, I took suggestions for Funk Friday. This is, you can go to Instagram at Fred Toucher. You know, Nas played both ways in high school.
I've heard it.
And then in his yearbook, he said he liked the boof. And then he started crying like a total pussy when he was giving his statements. It's Feed the Fan Friday.
Did he get some skis? Short for brewskis?
Only after his workout.
Some skis. Yeah, we went over to Chad's house and lifted some weights, smashed some iron around. I'm a total douche. Feed the Fan Fridays. I went into it thinking, poor guy, you know, these happened in high school, and I left going, you piece of crap. It's Feed the Fan Fridays. Well, you like entitled prick.
Every stereotype, the thing is, like, every stereotype that anyone wanted to have about him, like he completely confirmed up there. Sure. Like,
I'm going to be tough. And my daughter said, one of the best questions that one of the sinners asked is, do you believe in God? And he's like, yeah. And he goes, so
isn't
you,
it like, by the way, that,
you
that
swear question, to God?
Isn't that like question illegal?
Bert, I don't know anything what went on
in, except, in a regular job interview. Yes,
except that he was first in his class. He believed, and how could he have done anything wrong? Because he played football and was captain of the basketball team. Because Lord knows,
he went to the football. Legendary five-star camp in Pennsylvania.
Oh, did he? Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this: right. Is that no football player has ever done anything against the law. It's Feed the Fan Fridays. I wish someone would have said that. Oh, did you play football now? Well, okay. Well, everything's over,
yeah. Mr. Chairman. Let's take a vote right now.
I mean, why even do? Why Jeez, even go through this?
Stop
exercise?
The questions.
We're wasting the good people of the United States' time. Oh man, did he come off bad. It's Feed the Fan Fridays presented by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. Car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. Will score a $100 Stop and Shop gift card to feed their fandom. That's stopandshop.com. And I have to tell you, if you wear your varsity jacket, I'm sure they'll give you a little bit more respect. Because then, Lord knows, you've done nothing wrong. All right. John, your question for Bert Breer from MMQB.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
Hey, John.
So, over the past, you know, pretty much since the Belichick era, the Patriots have had a trend of drafting guys with an injury history, like Rozai Dowling, Gronk, other guys like, you know, I know you mentioned Hernandez, guys that fall in the draft for whatever reason. And, Bert, is there, like, a philosophy behind that if, like, X out of every 10 players hit, you know, it's better to take that risk? Or I was just wondering,
well, if you look
at the trend that they do a lot.
John, I would tell you, like, in the first round, they typically haven't taken a lot of risks, right? Now, I think Dominique Easley would be, like, one where he was a little bit of a risk coming in. But generally, the guys they've taken in the first round have been fairly safe. The second round's where they've taken all their risks. That's where they took Chad Jackson. That's where they took Gronk with the bad back. That's where they took Rozai Dowling. Like, they've taken guys with injury problems and off-field problems in the second round. That's normally been where they've gotten them. They don't take as many risks in the first round. And if you look, like, there are some players they've taken in the first round that, like, Devin McCourty's a very, very good player. Like, he's not a Hall of Famer, but he was a safe pick. Mm-hmm. And they got what they paid for there, you know? Gerard Mayo, another one. Not going to be in the Hall of Fame, but was a very good player for a very long time. Logan Mankins, like, if you look at their first round picks, a lot of them are very, very safe picks. They take their risks in the second round.
All right. What happens if the Patriots lose to Miami?
And this is as close as I can remember to, like, a must win this early in the year. I don't know if you guys can think of one that.
You're saying that it seems loss. Ridiculous to say that, but it seems true.
I can't
true.
Think of, like, and that's the thing is, like, what's different about this one to me, what's different about last week to me is that. It's not that we haven't seen them look like that before. I can't remember seeing them come off a loss like that.
Yeah, they're usually going to respond.
Like, coming off of a bad loss. Like, and it's not, and they've lost back-to-back games before, but I can't remember a time where they've, like, looked like there have been two games where they, like, the last 3-4 minutes of the game, it was over. Like,
yeah.
Both these games, the game was over. And so I can't remember it being like that in back-to-back weeks.
And if
so
they were to lose a third straight week, it's, what, 16 years since they'd lost three in a row?
And so there are two elements. First, there's the obvious, which is they lose their three games behind in the division. That's a big hole to dig out of. I still think they probably can dig out of that, but that's a big hole to dig out of. I think beyond that, it's just like showing something to themselves. You know, like they've always been this operation that, like, they're almost, like, impervious to the idea that they could, like, hit like a they get slump, like, mm-hmm. They don't have, like, month-long slumps the way some other teams do. And if this happens 3 weeks in a row, like, in a way, like, that's sort of uncharted territory. Like, you don't remember, like, extended periods, like maybe in 2009 when the year Brady's coming off the ACL and you had late gate, and, you know, there were a couple of, like, so-so games in there, like, the end of the year. I just can't think of very many examples really since Brady became the starter in 2001, and maybe like so there was a losing streak in 02, but like since the 03 season, let's say, I can't think of too many times when they really hit a rough patch, like more than a game or two.
All right. Well, it should be interesting on Sunday, Bert Breer. Thank you so much for the time.
All right. Thanks, guys. And I'm going to be listening in the car because I think there's some more Instagram things coming.
Well, if you want to get motivated, just right. Make sure you listen to the next break.
My question about those videos is always, like, who is shooting them? Yeah. Like I always, like, and I see this too with people in my business, because, like, they'll have, like, people, like, take, like, you'll see a picture of, you know, somebody standing with a mic flag, and they're, like, looking off into the distance. It's like, dude, you ask, like, you literally, like, ask somebody to take that?
What are you, bros? Yeah, when you got an entourage around you, you got to do what you got to do. Like, you so get before turtle if he's not too baked.
So before that set, does Mark Wahlberg, like, hand the guy the phone and say, hey, just take it?
Yes, of course. Yes.
All right, so
I don't know, like, how self-involved. I don't know.
But an actor self-involved? You don't say. Yeah. You know, he played both ways in high school.
That's all the true mark of character,
right? And then he played hoops.
If you only played receiver, we'll see about you. Yeah, but if you also played corner,
newsflash:
time to cut the question.
Coaches, girls, basketball. That's all you need to know. All right. Oh, that was so fun yesterday. All right, Mark Wahlberg. Rich fell down the rabbit hole of Mark Wahlberg's Instagram. We will have that for you. No commercials here, just the headlines.
From the Town Fair Tire Studio, the Sports Hub, the home of the New England Patriots. 98.5, the Sports Hub. WBZFM HD, Boston, a Beasley Media Group station. Sports Hub headlines.
Patriots will face Miami this coming Sunday in Foxborough. They were without starting defensive back Eric Rowe at practice thanks to a sore groin. He was limited on Wednesday. Former Patriots wideout Danny Amendola will be making his return to Gillette Stadium for the first time. He's going to face some people he's very familiar with.
Emotions? I play with a lot of emotion every game. I have a lot of friends on every team, so...